Welcome to Straight from the Horse's Mouth Radio Show. I'm Paula Slater, your host. This is an interview-based podcast where I have conversations with some of the most creative people in the horse world. Today, I'd like to welcome Linda Peterson from One Old Cowgirl's View. She has a blog called that. Welcome, Linda.
Hi. Hi, Paula.
So this is such an interesting blog that you have, and you have a very interesting career that you share with your husband. And can you tell us a little bit about it?
Well, I basically just follow him around out on the prairie horseback, and we take care of cows, whatever their needs are, we're on. Right now, a place that's about 42,000 acres in the southeast corner of Alberta.
Mm-hmm.
It's called the 1-4 Research Ranch. It's actually just the first year. It's gone from a federal research facility to they kind of shut it down, and the province has taken it over. And they've started a group of area ranchers have got together and made it into something like a community pasture, where they actually hire us to take care of their cattle over the summer from about the first to the middle of May to the end of October. They put out cow-calf pairs or bred heifers, something like that. And that's just our job. We just ride a horse all day and just look at cows, and if there's any needs, you know, we move them from pasture to pasture. If they need treating, we rope them from horseback. My husband can do it by himself, but it's nice to have an extra hand around, so I rope too and ride hard sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But how many, it's good life.
Yeah. How many cattle do you look after between the two of you?
Well, we're kind of feeling like we're almost retired. There's only about 600 or 700 head.
Cool.
We're used to about the last lease we were on was 1600 to 1800 cow calf pairs.
Holy cow!
And the ranch before that was 850 cow calf pairs, and then about, I think it was 1600 yearlings. Which the yearlings are way more work, but anyway.
Wow. Now, how did you get into this? I assume you must have been a rider.
We've always had horses. We tried to have a few cows to rope, and we've roped and stuff. And then we, as our children were growing up, we dug trucked for a while. So he could pay all the bills and raise kids. And then when they got grown up, we were just laying in bed one Sunday morning listening to Call of the West, in fact, and thinking about cowboy life and how much we would really prefer to do that. And we just started looking for a ranch job and found one. And that was 15 years ago about. And we've been just cowboying full time. Mm. Since then, so.
I want to go back a little bit with you. When did you start to ride? How old were you?
Well, I saw my first horse when I was 3 and fell in love then, and I started saving every penny I could get my hands on. I remember getting $5 in pennies. Yeah.
Oh.
I'm so old, they don't even have pennies anymore. Anyway, I have $5 in pennies, and I put it in the bank, and I started saving. And the day before, it took me till the day before my 16th birthday, and every wish on every birthday candles and star that fell, and every time somebody asked me what I wanted for Christmas, all I would ever say is I just wanted a horse. And I had this money saved, and the day before my 16th birthday, I conned my parents into going out to look at a horse, and I just bought it on the spot with cash. I had a place figured out to put it because my folks lived in town, and I had money to pay for the hay for a while, and kept it out at a farm just out of town, and that's how I got my first horse. So for my 16th birthday, everybody knew for how many years I'd wanted this horse, so they bought me a bridle and a saddle pad and some brushes, and basically I've rode since then.
Wow.
I used to just dream about it in my dreams and didn't actually know how it felt hardly to even be on a horse, but and I was a horrible rider. When I was 16, I remember the little neighbor boy giving me a boost up on the horse, threw me right over the other side. I fell right on the ground. I hope this isn't what I'm going to be like the rest of my life. But there was a man named Wilf Carter I met one time, and the singer and his family, and he used to sing a song, "I Want to Be a Cowgirl Sweetheart. I want one who can rope and can ride." And I thought, oh, if I want to marry a cowboy, that's what I got to do. So I spent a lot of time learning to ride, and then it wasn't really till I got married that I learned to rope. But
that's amazing. So tell us about a typical day in your life in, let's start with spring, or whenever the cattle, you start working.
Well, it's been pretty easy this year. Not a lot of sick cattle come out. In years previous on the other lease that we used to work on, the first 2 weeks, the members would bring out cattle, usually a lot of sick calves, and we would just spend about probably 10 hours a day just out on the prairie looking for calves with respiratory distress, and then we would rope and treat them with drugs, you know, specifically designed for that problem. And here it hasn't been too bad. The members have been sending out, you know, really, really healthy cows. We haven't had to treat very many calves, some, you know, a couple odd things. But
so you're probably well versed in the veterinary medicine area after all these years, right?
Well, we know how to do quite a bit. Not so much on the calving end of things. It's more cattle out on grass. They just, you know, they're not babied or anything. They're looking around for older, you know, in big pastures that are probably some of them like 8 square miles. You know, like it takes a long time to just ride around the field and find the cattle and
right
and make sure they've got enough salt, they've got water. You know, water, their water's working for them, whether it's a dugout, a dam, or a well. Because the area we're in right now is so dry, there's a lot of wells, and that's actually a really big issue. They say they actually put on about 30% better production if they're on fresh water. So the wells are, I don't know, you just got to watch and make sure cows always got water. And then if there's anything sick there, we treat foot rot, pink eye, and then like respiratory distress in calves. That happens usually in the spring if they've, you know, if they've branded and then just dumped them out on the grass. The little calves are, they're small, and it was a big deal for them. So
yeah, stress.
Yeah. So we just we just keep an eye on everybody, and you know, any kind of problems, fence problems or whatever.
So I'm also assuming that you have a mule or some type of pack horse to carry the fencing supplies and maybe veterinary supplies.
The only drugs we carry an oxymycin, I forget what it's called anyway, but it's a long-acting penicillin, and a respiratory drug, what's called Resflor right now. Those kind of change. They make new and better drugs all the time for pneumonia, so that it just is carried in saddlebags. And that's not too big. Salt is another issue, and we use a mechanical little vehicle to take out salt, just because they're 50-pound blocks.
Right.
And, You know, it's, we don't, we would love to have a pack mule. And oh my goodness, my husband thinks he's, will never have lived unless he owns a mule in his life sometimes. So I've spent 38 years trying to get him not to buy one, but
why?
I don't know. Well, I just kind of thought maybe he'd get along better with the horse, but I don't know. He's been married to me for 38 years, so maybe he could handle a mule. I don't know.
Well, I'm going to be talking with a lady that just loves mules, and I'm looking forward to that. I've heard many, many stories about them, that, you know, how loyal they are and et cetera. But I thought, you know, how do you manage to carry all of this on two horses?
Yeah, it's not a lot. We travel pretty light.
And, yeah.
Yeah, it's lunches. Well, about 4 o'clock, I start complaining. When are we going to eat? You know, 4 o'clock in the afternoon. We've been on a horse since 8:30 in the morning, and my husband just is kind of a workaholic, and he'll just go and go and go on. I whine enough that we usually go back to cow camp and get something to eat, and then he thinks it's time to get a fresh horse and go back out until dark. So I'll tell you, when the days start getting shorter, I'm a lot happier because they're a lot shorter days. But he's not quite as bad as he used to be. We're getting older, so
okay,
the days are a little shorter.
Well, you're
I have
doing
had
really
lunch
well.
At 2 o'clock for you know, a couple of times, so it's really much better.
So, all right, what I'd like to know, Linda, is tell me your day, because there are definitely gaps in my knowledge of your job. So I'm trying to visualize how you manage this. So you have a cow camp. So I assume that's your base camp, correct? What does that look like?
Well, there's a barn, some corrals. It's pretty fancy where we are right now, but because it was a research area, you know, before, they've got some pretty good facilities there, but we're just camping out in a kind of a fifth wheel trailer right now. So that's where we, you know, we go to eat or we go to sleep or whatever, but we spend most of our days out in the prairie. So we get up and have breakfast, and then we catch up our horse, saddle them up, and we quite often will haul out to where, you know, somewhat close to the cattle, because 40,000 acres, that's quite a, you don't want to ride 6 miles before you even get to the cows. So, you know,
yes,
to get to the pasture that the cows are in. So sometimes we can find a road that will get us a little bit closer.
Now, is this on horseback or with the fifth wheel?
We have just an old stock trailer that we haul out.
You take the horses. How many horses do you take out?
We usually just ride one horse a day, unless it's it's those longer days, like till 10 o'clock, and then we'll come back and get a fresh horse. But we always used to try and ride only a horse only one day in three. So we would have three horses in a string, string. Each, so the horse would be out all day. So obviously they're missing their lunch and there's, you know, everything during the day. So you don't want to do that every day. But the days are a little bit shorter now for us, and we're just using one horse, and we only have two each. So we just take out one day, one the next day.
Right, and now they're kept back at the research center.
Yep, they're just up in the corrals up around the where we live at the fifth wheel.
Right.
So
your fifth wheel is in addition to what buildings are there for the research center, right?
Yes, yeah, that's right. Yeah. We're just kind of camping. We feel like we're, you know, on holidays all the time. It's just really good.
Oh my gosh. And the two of you are looking after a total of
600 or 700. I forget exactly how many, but it's not too many. Yeah. Well, and the calves and the bulls. So that's about 1,200, around 1,200 head altogether. But it's just pairs, 600 pairs.
Uh huh.
Is how we call it here. So.
And then prior to this, you were looking after much more, correct?
Yeah, about three times that many. Two to three times that many.
So. Just the two of you.
Yes, just the two of us. Yeah, and really, it's kind of sad because they really only hire. Out here in Alberta, they think one cowboy can do an awful lot, so they'll hire one guy to take care of that many cows. But they're a little bit sneaky. They hire somebody with a good wife who can rope and ride, and then they don't have to really pay her because they're just hiring the cowboy, right?
Wow.
So he works for them. I work for Doug, for my husband, so is how that works. But it's a lot to ask one guy to do.
Yes.
I found it's almost impossible. So I've just found that it's a lot easier on him and our relationship, because I like to go out and be with him. And
yeah.
We have a lot of fun out there. It's you know, it's not all fun, but there are days when we're just sitting there side by side on our horses looking out over a bunch of cows. And, we say, can you believe that people are paying us to do this, you know?
Wow.
You know you've won when people pay you to do what you would pay them to let you do. That's what I figure.
Well, I think you are a rare breed, you know, definitely. I don't think too many people would work as hard as you guys do.
There aren't too many 62-year-old ladies that do it, but Alberta does have a lot of cowboys. Like, there are a lot of guys out doing that. I mean, a limited number. There's not unlimited number of jobs like that, but there are more than you would think. Mm-hmm. Cowboys are still alive. You just can't see them from the road. That's what we say. You know,
It's amazing. I think it's a wonderful story. And speaking of stories, can you tell us how you and Doug met?
Oh, yeah. I was going to university, and he was working on a farm. And Ray Hunt came to town, and that was 38 years ago. And nobody'd really heard of Ray Hunt up here in Alberta. But it was about horses, and we both loved horses. So he was supposed to be spraying out in this farm, and it was too windy, he said. So he went into the Ray Hunt clinic, and I was supposed to be going to university, and there's no way, if there was something horses going on, that I was going to go to class. So I skipped out and went to the thing, and I walked in, and my cousin's cousin that I knew was talking to this skinny, homely cowboy, and he introduced us, and I went and sat down by myself in the bleachers, and pretty soon this cowboy shows up with a orange pop, and then just visited with me. And it was, the clinic was Monday to Friday, and so we visited quite a bit through that week. And anyway, to make a long story short, and it's a long story, but anyway, 6 weeks later we got married, and that was 38 years ago. But we used to go back to that same Ray Hunt clinic was held a number of years after, and we used to go back every year, and I'd sit in the same place in the bleachers, and he'd bring me an orange pop, and we'd go through this whole same routine, and everybody that took the clinic knew that we got married because we'd met at this Ray Hunt clinic. And I think Ray kind of thought, you know, he had a hand in us getting married too. It was kind of fun. And then we find out who Ray Hunt is. He's quite a famous, popular guy right now. And things I remember from the clinic was he was just how he could rope with 60 feet of rope, and it was a leather Rieta besides. And now that's what we rope with, 60 feet. And a lot of the things that we do are things that we learned because of him and people that have studied under him.
Wow, and that's a wonderful, romantic, awesome story. Thank you for sharing. That's great, Linda. Oh, well, I think that there would be so many stories you could tell. And like I say, many people have no idea. Like, I didn't know much about cowboys, especially coming from Ontario, and they're unheard of other than at the fairs and that sort of thing. So
you have
a blog, One Old Cowgirl's Point of View, and that you're always sharing the stories on that. So your URL is
oneoldcowgirl.wordpress.com. Yeah, but if you just Google One Old Cowgirl, you'll get there.
Excellent, excellent. All right. So this is very, again, a very unusual life. And I think that most people can't even imagine. So tell us more.
Well, yeah, maybe I should just say that the privilege of having this way of life isn't lost on me. I really feel blessed to be able to do what I wanted to do when I first saw Roy Rogers and met Wilf Carter. But it is a really unique life, and one that I think a lot of people don't even know still exists. And that's kind of why I started doing my blog. I thought, well, you know, it's a shame not to record it and put it out there. And there's not a lot of cowboys out there that are going to have a blog and pack a camera on their horse and take pictures like I do, and maybe, you know, have an interest in writing at all. So I thought, well, I'll just do that. And really, if nobody ever reads my blog, it's fine. If they do, then they'll get, you know, they'll see what life is like, and there's lots of stories and some good and some bad on there. But it's kind of gives you an idea of what goes on in an actual working cowboy. This isn't the guy who's just wearing the hat and the boots and, you know, whatever, going to the dances and to pick up girls looking like that. This is a guy who takes care of cows, and this is a way of life in the West that, you know, for at least 100 years that's been going on. And we still do a lot of things the same way. You know, we still use a horse, we still use ropes, you know, we still risk our lives, we still have a deep appreciation for nature and for for cattle. And like, I have a lot of respect for cattle. It takes a lot to raise a baby half your size with no hands. If you just think about that, how do they get them to do, you know, a baby that's running into danger? How does a cow keep their baby from dying? You know, like, cows are way smarter than what people give them credit for, and they have a kindness and an acceptance about them that just makes you feel good to ride into a herd of cows. The lady, a lot of people have heard of Temple Grandin, and I remember in her movie that she lays down on the ground, she's in this corral of cows, and she just feels happy there. And that's how I feel in a herd of cows. They just make me feel accepted, and it's just, you feel like you're part of nature, and it's just really, really a good life. And that website, that little blog that I have, is just to share that with people out there, and hopefully they can gain an appreciation of what a privilege, you know, nature is for us. We can learn so much from it. Like, for us, we learn, you know, we're out there, we're looking for cattle, and we don't know where they are. Like, they're in huge pastures, and maybe just the way the wind's blowing will tell us, okay, well, cattle will move into the wind. You think they're going to move away unless it's really bad wind, but they'll move into the wind, and so we know what direction to go to find the cattle. Or we'll see maybe some crows or a coyote or two, and we're thinking, okay, well, that's a sign that there's something dead around here, so we better start looking, you know, see if a calf died or something. There's just so much. We'll see in the sky, maybe there's clouds coming in, and we're thinking, okay, we better get going because we're going to be in a hailstorm. And I'm here to tell you, I've been in those. I kept telling my husband one time, like, that storm's coming this way. No, we can just ride. I'm like, no, I'm pretty sure that, you know. And at famous last words, we got caught in this hailstorm. And it was so bad, my horse jigged so bad, that I got off because I was scared he was going to run off. And I didn't know what was going to happen in this huge, big hailstorms. And I was could barely hang on to him. And I wear this big old hat, and I had it. And I thought, well, I'll just put my back to the storm. And the hail hit the back of my hat, ran down the back of my shirt, down my pants, and into my boots. And by the time the hailstorm was over, I was soaking wet. And I looked over, and there was my husband, who had turned the other direction with his big old hat, the hail had hit the front of it and just run off down onto the ground, and he wasn't wet at all. And so I was mad, and he wasn't. But you know, you learn
these things. Yes.
Yeah, you learn to appreciate and live with nature, and watch her signs. One time I drove by, I think I got a picture on my blog about, we were headed back to camp, and we saw this fence post, and it looked like there was a wig on the top of this fence post. And I'm like, what is that? And I said, stop. And so we went over and looked, and the wig turned out to be a swarm of bees. And the way it had gone on the top of the fence post looked like it had bangs and then down the side, you know, some side hair. It was just crazy. But you get to see like the coolest things when you're out in nature. That I just kind of feel sorry for people who are stuck in the city, and they're looking at pavement and you know, they're happy that there's just maybe a tree there, and I'm just surrounded by so many really, really cool things out where we work.
Mm-hmm. Well, Linda, this has been very enjoyable for me. I just love your stories, and I can't get enough of them. So I'm going to ask you if you would please return to Straight from the Horse's Mouth radio show and tell us more.
Oh, sure. Yeah. I don't get to talk to people that much, mostly just cows, so I might talk your hind leg off, but I got lots of stories.
Well, there's lots of things to learn, too, and I'd like to know more about cattle and how, and, you know, I love animals, so that's always interesting. So thank you again, Linda Peterson, from One Old Cowgirl's Point of View, or One Old Cowgirl's View. Sorry, I have to put the point in there, which totally ruins it. But of course, if people are looking for your blog, they can just type in One Old Cowgirl's View and they'll come up without the URL. Yes.
Right.
All right. Well, thank you again, Linda.
Excellent. Thanks, Paula.
We'll say goodbye then.
Yep. Bye-bye.
I hope you enjoyed my interview today with Linda Peterson from One Old Cowgirl's View, an excellent blog with lots of stories from the prairies. And I'm looking forward to Linda's return and for her to share more stories. This is something I think Linda should commit to audiobooks, because she's got so much to share. And speaking of audiobooks, today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audio book download and a free 30-day trial. Use the code horsemouthbook.com. That's horsemouthbook.com. There's 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. So I'm hoping that Linda will eventually have a book on Audible.com. That would be great. All right, then. It's Paula Slater signing off for Straight from the Horse's Mouth radio show. We'll see you next week. Bye.